good mother, to be a godly mother. I learned so much from her. And I'm thankful today that I am the mother of two daughters, Brandy and Tiffany. And they are in Austin, and my heart hurts. Wish they were here, but I'm so thankful for the privilege of being a mama. Thank you, honey, for helping me with that. I appreciate it. He got all the fun. I got all the trouble. Sorry, I'm me. I'm real. You get it. What you see is what you get today. So, I'm also thankful I have two grandsons. How many have grandbabies? I have Hollister and Gideon, and they are the joys of our life. Oh, love those boys. Wish I could get a hold of them today. Listen, you don't know how blessed you are. If you have your children and your grandchildren here with you, you're blessed. Don't ever complain. I have heard grandmothers say, I'll keep them for a little while, but I don't want to keep them for long. You don't know what you're talking about until you got them in Austin, Texas. And you have to get on an airplane to go see them. Let me tell you, you're blessed. You are blessed. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Mother's Day. I'm thankful for the joy of being a mother today. It is not going to be my traditional message because I want to minister to the men as well as the women today. But I did want to say Happy Mother's Day. My title today is Joy. Choose it or refuse it. That's my title, and we're going to go from there. No matter who you are, no matter how rich, no matter how poor, no matter how young, no matter how old, no matter how fat, no matter how skinny, no matter what, no matter how long you have been a Christian, let me tell you, read my lips. You will be tested. You will be tested. You cannot opt out of a test. Trials are to test your faith. It's to show if you are strong and pure. You are being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. When we're going through a test, God is seeing how we're going to come out of that test. He is trying us to see if we're going to shine as pure gold. And our faith is precious to Him. It is precious as gold. If your faith remains strong in your test, when your test is over, everyone around you will see you have walked out of that test, and the glory of God will shine about that test, and everyone will see you have passed it. But it's our faith that brings us through. Tests help us to mature. When we are immature and we're impatient, we don't appreciate the journey that we're on. Sort of like when you take a long trip. Many of us have taken a long trip with our kids when they were very young. And it's very long. The kids are impatient. And every few minutes you hear, are we there yet? No. Are we there yet? They're so impatient. They want the end result. And they want the blessing. But they don't appreciate the journey. Listen, that's how we are as Christians. We want God's blessings. We want Him to pour them out on us, but we don't appreciate the test and the fire sometimes that we have to go through to get through that test and see the glory of God in the journey. The end result is maturity. Now, maturity is a hard thing. It's a hard lesson to learn. Patience, hard lesson to learn. But let me tell you, if you don't get it right the first time, you're going to go through it again and again and again. My husband is the greatest husband on earth, but he's also the most impatient man on earth. in traffic, he will scream at you. If you ever see him in his car and he looks like he's talking to God, he is not. No. He's screaming at the car in front of him that is not going fast enough. And I say, darling, sweetheart, nothing you can do about that car. They don't hear you. Have patience. But now he has been patient. He's been married to me for 40 years, so he's done pretty good with that. But, you know, we have to trust God as we face trials, and we have to have a positive attitude. God can't build our character unless we cooperate with him. When we try to shelter ourselves and avoid trials of life, we remain like a child. We never grow up. We never mature. We never get through a test and never go through it again because we don't pass it. We're going to go through it over and over. When a test comes our way, how do we respond? First of all, we need to pray for wisdom. Wisdom can get you through the test, and the end result is you will glorify God through it. We need to pray, but when we need to pray confidently. We need to pray specifically. You know, God doesn't mind if you ask him for something specific. Now, it's not that he's always going to give it to you because it may not be the right thing. But we can pray specifically. And we have to be unwavering in our prayers. We cannot fall down on the job. When we do that, God promises he will answer. But guess what? It's in his time and not yours. But the bottom line is when we are in a test, if our eyes are focused and we're in the right attitude, we know without a doubt God is with us and God is faithful. Can you say that? God is with us and God is faithful. James 1 and 2. Says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work. That's hard to do. But if we do, we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, have you ever been going through life and everything just seems to be going along just perfect? Everything's going your way. It's all lining up, and you're just feeling real good about your life. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you are slapped in the face with a test. You know what? It's how we walk through those tests and how we come out of those tests that matter. We have to have perseverance. Perseverance is the act or power of continuing to do something in spite of a difficulty. If we give up in the middle of our test and we don't persevere, well, next week we're going to be right back in the middle of it. I don't want to go back through some of the tests I've been through. Do you? No. I'm done. I want to pass with an A. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the middle of a test, sometimes we don't feel peace. The last thing we feel is peace. But the word says, in him you may have peace. In this world you will. Not you might, not you may, but you will have tribulation. But what does it say? Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In the middle of a test, it seems like it's never going to be over. But a scripture, Psalm 35, says, weeping may endure for a night. But what happens after that? Joy. joy comes in the morning. One of my devotions recently has just ministered to me so much. And let me say this to you. You know, we're in ministry, and sometimes it's real easy for you to look at us and to look at Pastor Steve and Miss Lori and other people that are in ministry, LaVon and Sarah, Chris and Joy, on and on and on. It's easy to look at us and say, y'all look like you just have it all together. Everything's just right. Doesn't look like the devil bothers you very much. Let me tell you, I think sometimes our tests are hotter than your test because you're watching us to see how we come out. That's okay. We're all going to have tests, but it's how we come through them. This devotion said, keep your eyes on me. Waves of adversity may wash over you. Your circumstances consume more and more and more of you. When you're in the middle of that test and in the middle of that crisis, you feel swallowed up in it. You feel consumed. What happens? God said, you are losing sight of me. You're losing sight of the answer. I am with you always. I am not shocked by where you are. I am not unaware of your situation. I know exactly where you are. And I will not allow you, listen to this, it's important. I will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. Can you say thank God for that? Thank you, Lord. Your danger is worrying about tomorrow. If you try to carry tomorrow's burdens today, you will fall under the pressure and the weight of the world. You have to discipline yourself to live within the boundaries of today. It's the present moment when he walks close to us and he helps us carry our burdens. The way I say it to myself some days when it seems so hard, I say, keep your focus on his presence when you're in the middle of the trial. Because his presence is what will bring you through. Do you know there are some people that never seek God until they're in the middle of a crisis. Until they're in the middle of needing something. That's the wrong time to do it. You need to do it then also. But you need to seek God when things are going great. You need to put the word in you. You need to build yourself up. Because when you're in those times that you need a word, you pull. You pull. You pull from the reserve that you have in you. And that's what gets you through that battle. So seek God at all times. One of the greatest gifts of a test is when we learn to fully trust God. That's hard to do in the middle of a test, but it can be done. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape. Hallelujah. That you may be able to bear it. Listen to me. When you go through a trial, you're not alone. God is walking with you through your trials. We just don't acknowledge him. But if we do, he will bring us through. One thing I learned in the middle of probably the biggest trial of my life, and I'm going to get through this real quick, honey, because I know we got to get out. But going to Latvia, when God called us to Latvia, Carl went for the first time to minister to underground churches, I believe, at that time. And when he came back, he could not quit crying. Days and days, he sat around the house, came to work, came back home, work. He cried. He could not stop crying. And one day I said, honey, if you don't get the victory over this, we're going to have to move there. Slap my face. What in the world was I thinking? But I knew his heart was in Liepāja, Latvia. Now, he loved you. He loved this church. But he left a people that did not have a shepherd. He left a people that needed what you had. And he could not get relief from that burden. He went to talk to Bishop Miles. And Bishop Miles gave him the word, Carl, I believe that if you will just give 1 year of your life, it'll be the best year you've ever had. He came home to me. I was a mama's girl. And my kids were nanny girls. And he came home to me and he said, honey, I think we have to go to Latvia. I think we're going for a year. And I said, Lord, if this is you, then it'll all fall into place. I will not buck him. I will do what he wants me to do, and we will go and we will minister. Well, we had some challenges, but it did fall into place. We packed up, the two of us, our two girls. They were 4 and 11. We packed our whole year in 9 suitcases to live for an entire year with two girls. Well, my husband had presented this to me. Oh, it's an exotic place. It's beautiful. Oh, it's just a whole new world, he said. Oh, you're just not going to believe it. So one day I came in the house and I realized now he was trying to butter me up and prep me for the truth. But I came in the house one day and he had a CD player, at that time a boombox, sitting on the kitchen counter where you live, Joy. And he said, you got to listen to this song because it's about our year. And he pushed the button, and I don't know if you remember this song. The song was A Whole New World. Oh, he played that song for me, and he serenaded me, and I thought, ooh-hoo, we're going for an adventure. It's going to be exotic. It's going to be beautiful. I can't wait. Well, yeah, we get on the airplane, and when we finally make it to Liepāja, well, I think we got to Riga. And how many hours was our travel time? 30. We had a child, a 4-year-old, with chicken pox. She had a fever. But he said, ain't nothing gonna keep us from getting on that plane. So we did our best to get her on that plane without anybody knowing. Well, we get to the door. She spreads both arms wide open and would not go through the door. I want my nanny. I want my papa. Well, we took a screaming child on that airplane with chicken pox. We traveled all that way, and we get to Riga and step off of the plane. And I remember the first thing I realized, it was in January. The first thing I realized is, I can't breathe. It's too cold. It was so cold, literally, you could not breathe. Well, that was my first indication. He might not have told me the whole truth about this place. I kind of knew it then. But we took a van ride to Liepāja. It was in the dark. Thank God, if it had not been in the dark, I would have turned around and got back on that airplane. But it was in the dark, so when we got to the Liva Hotel, we checked into one room. We're talking an old, old, old hotel. We checked into one room with 9 bags, 4 people, and we thought, well, we'll be here a night or two, maybe. Maybe a night or two. Well, I think we ended up being there 2 weeks or so because we couldn't find a place to live. Well, I remember that night, it was so cold in the room that we all slept with all of our clothes on and our coats. That's how cold it was in the room. And you could see, this is no joke, I'm not exaggerating. You could see the curtains blowing from the wind coming in the windows. The cracks were that bad around the windows. So I thought, okay, Lord, maybe it's not as bad as it seems right now. When I get up in the morning and I look out that window, I'm going to see this beautiful, exotic place. And I'm just going to be so happy that we're here and so thankful. Well, we get up the next morning and I go to open the window. And he's there. He knows what I'm going to see. I open that window. All I saw was black and white. Snow. No green. No vegetation. No flowers. It was like we were in a black and white world. And I thought, oh dear Lord, that song, A Whole New World, it turned into gloom and despair and agony on me. I knew I was in for something. And you know, we were excited to go and minister to people that did not know about God. They've never heard about God. They've never seen a Bible. We were so excited about it. But let me tell you what, that test all of a sudden weighed down on me. And instead of seeing why we were there and the excitement of why we were there, that test clouded my vision. And I was not passing that test. We went through a lot while we were there. And I remember we would walk to the market. And it was a long way, and we'd walk all the way back, and you would have bags on each arm. I'm talking heavy bags, potatoes, onions, whatever. We had to march up 77 stairs every time we went to the market and back, and that was several times a week. There was no variety in food. We had meat, eggs, onions, and potatoes. My biggest challenge of the day was, how am I going to cook the potatoes tonight? I learned how to do a lot with potatoes. Well, in the first few weeks, we took our clothes to a laundry. Carl found somebody that would do our laundry because we didn't have a washing machine. Well, every time we would get our clothes back, I don't even know if he remembers this, things were missing. And I think they thought they would take the things we wouldn't notice, but it was the most important things usually that were missing. So my friend downstairs, she spoke English, and she said, Carl, let me take you to get Brenda a washing machine. And I was so excited. I never believed I could be so excited about a washing machine. So she took him to get me a washing machine. That is what it looked like. Now that woman's smiling, but let me tell you, there is nothing fun about that washing machine. I would spend all day long getting water from the sink, putting it in the washing machine, wringing the clothes through the wringer all day long. That is, if we had water for that day. And the miracle would be if it was actually hot water. But let me tell you what, I learned to deal with that washing machine. And I hung clothes all over the apartment to dry them, and it was okay. I learned how to do it. But you know what? I lost my focus on why we were there, and why we were there was to minister to those people that did not know God. One day in prayer, I heard God say to me, and it was a sharp rebuke. When you hear God rebuke you, you know it. I heard him say to me, when are you going to stop wallowing in your self-pity and start worshiping me? Buddy, when I heard that word, I got down on my knees and I said, God, if you will help me quit being sorry for myself, I will worship through this. We had an old piano in the apartment. And I went and sat down at that piano. And I started just singing and praising and singing to the Lord. That's my favorite thing to do at my house. Since I broke my arm, I've not been able to, but it's around the corner. I've still been able to sing, though. But I sat down at that piano, and I started singing in the Spirit. And a little song came to me, and it was, "Count it all joy, even when the battles are raging. Count it all joy in the midst of your trials." And I would sing that song over and over and over again. Well, you know what? When I started worshiping, joy came into my life. I quit refusing the joy of the Lord, and I chose to have it. And it changed my life. It was the best year of our life, and I will never regret it. It has changed so much about me. It has changed the way I look at everything, because you know what? We are a blessed people, and we don't even know it much of the time. We don't know it. That year, we saw more souls saved than we have probably will ever see in our lifetime. I remember him asking, "Do you have a Bible?" There was maybe one or two that held up Bibles. It was the best year of our life, and I would do it all over again. But let me tell you what I found out. If you cannot praise God when you're down in the valley, and you cannot worship him when you're down in the valley, you will not worship him when you get on the mountaintop. You don't have a reason to. So what I found out is, God, if you'll help me, I will worship you in the middle of this, and I will worship my way through it. And let me tell you, after 6 months, we got to the point where we both said, I believe we could live here forever if we had to. That's how good God was. If you've never been through a test, you will never truly know what it means to be delivered. So be thankful for your test. Be thankful for the trials. I've found that the darkest nights are followed by the brightest days. A heavy burden is followed by a multitude of blessings. The sorrow of today is followed by the pleasant day of tomorrow. The weakness of a moment can be followed by the blessing of an hour. The difficulty of a day can be followed by the blessing of a week. And I'm going to put a picture up of valleys and mountaintops. We all in our life will go through valleys. We will have mountaintops. We've experienced a lot of them in our 40 years. We were married, that was a mountaintop. We had Brandy, that was a mountaintop. We lost Carl's mama, that was a valley. I lost a baby, that was a valley. I lost my sister at 32, that was a valley. We had Tiffany. That was a mountaintop experience. I lost my mama. That was a valley. We had Hollister. We had Gideon. Those were mountaintops. But let me tell you, you're not going to go through life staying on the mountaintop. You've got to go down into the valley to get back up to the mountaintop. And we need to learn to rejoice in the valley, because the mountaintop will be that much greater. I'm thankful for my valleys because they develop me, mature me, and help me to see them as pure gold. I want you to stand. If anybody is in this building right now and you are going through a test, you're going through a trial, you're in a place, you don't know how you're going to get out of it, stand right now. Just stand on your feet right now. Lee said, if you'll come to the piano, just stand to your feet. Let me tell you, if you're in a valley, God is with you. He's walking with you. He's there with you. He's going to bring you through it. Don't give up. don't give up in the valley, because the mountaintop is just on the other side. It's on its way. I'm thankful today that God is a God of His Word, and God is faithful, and He will carry you through. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to close with a prayer and just commit it to the Lord today that we're going to get through these trials. I want you to repeat after me. I am entering a time of increased favor. I believe God will empower me with greater authority, grace, spiritual blessing, faith, supernatural provision. I believe for supernatural increase. I believe for promotion. I believe for restoration of everything the enemy has stolen from me. I believe I will have honor in the middle of my test. I am believing for greater victories in the midst of greater odds. Finally, I am believing battles will be won. And I won't have to fight, because my Father, He will fight for me. I declare it's my season. Say that again. I declare it's my season. Say it again like you mean it. I declare it's my season. Nothing. Say it. Nothing. Nothing can stop the favor of the Lord in my life. It is unstoppable. It is unshakable. And it is unbreakable. I choose joy. I will not refuse it. But I choose joy. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, darling. That was a real good word for Mother's Day. My, my. Thank you for worshiping at Abundant Life this morning. We appreciate you being here. What a good crowd you are. Looks like and you smell good, too. We're dismissing a little early. Enjoy your great lunch, and many of you will want to be back for the 1 o'clock memorial service for Devin Bethay. Our prayers are with the Jackson family on this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day again to all of you mothers. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.